So as we gather here today on the fourth Sunday of Advent, soon to gather again for the blessed feast of Christmas, the church invites us to open our hearts, eh? Open our hearts like Mary. That's what we hear in the gospel, to God's plan for us, eh? God's providential love for us, eh? The season really clearly, in my mind, the season of Advent is, to me, one of the most beautiful seasons of the church year. I mean, I love them all, but I really love Advent because what we have contained in Advent really does speak very clearly and very specifically to the time that we are in now in world history, which is we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus in glory. And so this whole focus on waiting and anticipation is really not only important symbolically in Advent, but really that's what we're doing. We're quite literally doing. And in many other ways, I want to reflect on this in a moment, this waiting time that we're in our lives and as a world. So we hear in the first reading today from the prophet Samuel, he is speaking on behalf of God. So David, remember the story of King David, he was just the little youngest of his brothers. If you remember in the first book of Kings, rather, the prophet Samuel is sent by God because God has rejected the first king of Israel, Saul, because he's done something terribly disobedient. So God rejects Saul, and he goes and sends his prophet Samuel to anoint a new king. And Samuel doesn't know exactly who it is, but he knows it's the house of Jesse. And so if you remember, we read this passage every few years, every 3 years, there is Jesse and all his boys, big, strapping youth, and over and over, and God, Samuel looks at the first one, the oldest one, says, surely that's the Lord's anointing. Hey, he's got all the looks, right? Big, strong, handsome, and the Lord says, nope, that's not the one. And he says, well, then the Lord surely must choose this one. Nope, 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 nope. And he runs out of sons, to the point where in the passage he says, well, is this all your kids, all your boys? And Jesse says, well, there's the youngest, but he's out tending the flocks. They didn't even think that they should even have David there. I mean, that gives you a picture of the way that God sees things and the way that man sees things. That's really important for us to understand, because in the first reading today, God speaks to David, again, this boy who was anointed king of Israel to replace Saul, who, again, God is reminding him, look, you know, David wants to build God a temple. He's finally established the city of God's people in Jerusalem. It's kind of interesting, all the talk in our culture today about Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, right? And that's exactly what has happened in the first reading today. David has established Jerusalem as the capital of God's people. But God has to remind David, because David is well-meaning and everything, and he says, I'm going to build a temple for the Lord, a house for the Lord. And God says, nope, nope. And it's not, he's not scolding David or anything like that. David is very well-meaning, but God has to remind him, look, David, it was I who built you into a house, not the opposite. And that's what the meaning of what God says to the prophet Samuel. He says, no, no, no. I'm going to make your house endure. Okay? You're not going to make a house for me. I'm going to make a house for you. So again, the language that God is using there, even though this is the Old Testament, is the language of grace. David, you were nothing. Your dad didn't even think it was of worth to bring you on the day that the prophet arrived to anoint the new king of Israel. But I chose you. Okay? I am building a house for you, not vice versa. And, you know, and that reminds us and should remind us as we go and prepare to enter into the Christmas season and finish this beautiful season of Advent, that whatever it is, whether it's King David or his son Solomon, who does end up building the temple for God, that's God's plan, or whoever we want to talk about in the Bible, Mary and the gospel, doesn't matter. But this is a reminder. That's why this reading is so important for us as God's people, because it's a reminder to us that God's grace is at work, even now. And it's not our agenda and it's not our schedule, nor even does it sometimes make sense to us, but God is at work, and that's why we have the gospel today. Our attitude is to be that of Mary. I trust you, Lord. I don't understand it all, right? The dialogue that Mary has with the angel, how can this be? She's no dummy. You know, sometimes people think religion is, you got to put all your questions away and all your searching. Not at all. Just the opposite. I disagree with that highly. God does not want us to stop wondering and questioning and searching and seeking. Absolutely the opposite. But there has to come a point where we just say, there are things beyond our scope. And really, when we think about it, that's our whole lives, isn't it? The times, the seasons, the things, the events of our lives, the surprises we all experience in life, the way life goes, when we thought it was going to go this way and life went this way. And then that's when God says, well, do you trust me? Like he says to Mary. This Christmas, as you're gathered around the table with your family and friends, eh? For a lot of people, it's a very stressful time. Psychologists tell us that Christmas is one of the most stressful times of the year because, again, families feel this need to come together, and sometimes there's disagreements and disappointments, and families aren't exactly what we thought they'd turn out to be. My family, certainly, I can include in that. I would have never imagined in a million years where some of my family members are and the choices they've made, but you know what? I gotta trust. We gotta trust. God is building up a house for us, eh? And we can take that all the way, you know, because when you look at historically the house of David ended at one point. If you know the history of Israel, it went for about a 400-year-old period, and then the Babylonians came in and destroyed the royal house and took them off into slavery, into exile. And everybody thought, that's it, all done. It was a good run, but you know what? It's over. Not so. God's plans are different. Because what does the gospel say? Mary, who lived, her husband, was of the house of David. Eh? God is building up a house. Yeah, he let it kind of go quiet for a while, kind of went underground. But now God is raising it up. And that's the story of our lives, is it not? God promises things. Sometimes we got to wait. We got to really wait on his promises. It doesn't go according to our agenda. You know, we're tempted to despair and give up. And so, again, what is God asking of us? Just like the house of David, that kind of went silent for a while, but then, through Mary and Joseph, God restores the house of David. Not only that, for us in the church, the house of David, the royal line, is fulfilled in the church, in you and me. And so what is God asking of us today? He's asking us to trust. He's asking us to trust. Remember to remember that we don't see the way God sees. We don't always understand the way God understands. Eh? And remember this as we go into the beautiful season of Christmas, to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us to trust evermore, eh? Like Mary. That's why she's always presented to us on the fourth Sunday of Advent. She's the model of trust. Eh? She's helping us on our journey to hold on, to pray, to be faithful, and to trust. Because we hear her words, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." May that be our prayer today as we get ready for the season, the holy season of Christmas. "Behold, Lord, I am your servant. I am your handmaid. May it be done to me according to your word." God bless you all.